look at another one of these festivals from the Old Testament. If you could find our text, it's Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 22. Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 22. And if you're able, would you to physically stand, would you please stand? Let's honor God as I read His word in your hearing. And we contemplate the truths that He has preserved for us here. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse number 15. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2 tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Verse 18. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Verse 21. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. And finally, verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we bow together and humbly confess that we need your help now to both understand what you have said here and what you mean by what you say. We need your help, Lord, in making a right application in our lives today. And then most certainly we need your help, Lord, to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. We're taking up the subject of the feast of the Lord again this week for the fourth time. And I want to, again, just connect the dots for to make sure everybody's together. What we've agreed upon is that biblical festivals are given to God's people by God to glorify Him and to edify us, okay? And there is always benefit to the saint when we glorify God. We actually get edified when we glorify God. That's the reason we were created. We were created to glorify God, right? And when you do what you're created for, you actually get fulfilled. You get fulfilled, all right? And we also have agreed that these biblical feasts are all fulfilled in Christ. Saw that in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Christ is the fulfillment of everyone that we have looked at and the remaining 4. Or we've looked at 3 and we're going to look at 4 more. Christ, they all point to Christ, all right? They all give us truths about Christ that we are to learn. Last week, we looked at the Feast of First Fruits. And we saw that the Feast of First Fruits was celebrated the first Sunday in the week of unleavened bread, right? The week of unleavened bread. You remember there are 3 feasts, right? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, right? Unleavened bread lasted 7 days, and the first Sunday in that 7 days was what? First fruits, right? And so we saw then that these three feasts are linked together. They are Passover was on in the month Abib, which is in the March-April time frame. Abib 14, right? Unleavened bread then came right after it in Abib 15 through 21. And then the first Sunday in the week 15 through 21 was first fruits. You got it? And so you can see, hopefully, as we showed you last time, that these three feasts are linked together. And in reference to Christ, then, you can surely see that the Passover was his what? His death. That's when they killed him. And then we see his burial. And then first fruits is his what? His resurrection. Okay? And so that's what you need to keep in mind. Don't get so bogged down in the minutiae that you can't see that these feasts were designed to point people to the anticipation of the fulfillment of these, right? Okay, so today we're going to take a look at the fourth feast. That was the three that we've seen so far. This feast today then is called the Feast of Weeks, okay? We'll look at, follow the same pattern we've followed so far. We'll look at the origin of the feast, and then we'll try to put it together so you can see why it's significant to us here in our day and age, right? You should never think that the Old Testament was just information. God never wastes words because he said, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but every word. Not just the words in the New Testament, the words in the Old, they all have significance. God chose exactly what he wanted preserved, right? And so since he preserved these feasts for us, there are things that we can learn. Yes? So when we think about the origin, I'll say to you, as I said last week, the origin is always divine. And if you go back to Leviticus 23, you see verse 9, Leviticus 23:9. I mentioned this when we were talking about the Feast of First Fruit. It said, and the Lord spoke to Moses. So God is speaking. The Lord, Yahweh, is speaking. So he's still speaking when we get down to verse 15, all right? Just because verse 15 didn't say the Lord said, it says you shall, but it's the Lord who is speaking, right? He's still speaking. So it's him who has spoken with authority to say, you shall celebrate this next feast, okay? And you see verse 10? You see Leviticus 23:10? Speak to the people of Israel and say to them. So it's God's people who are to understand what God is saying. And it's God's people who are to obey, right? We saw that with the Feast of First Fruit, and it's the same with the one today. It's a divine origin. God is speaking to his people, and it's us. It's God's people who should obey. So the next thing that I want us to look at is what the actual instruction is for this feast, the Feast of Weeks. The first thing to notice is that I need you to move me there, AJ. I guess my battery's going down here. Okay. I need you to notice, then I want to make an observation for you. You remember that we saw with the Feast of First Fruit that it came on the first Sunday in the week of Unleavened Bread, right? Okay. And what we're going to find out today is that this Feast of Weeks always occurs on a Sunday too, okay? It's 49 days past Feast of Unleavened, First Fruits, plus one, right? And so Sunday through Saturday, 7 days, right? Times seven is what? 49 plus one. You end on a Saturday plus one is Sunday, okay? So the Feast of First Fruits is always on a Sunday. The Feast of Weeks, or you're going to find out it's also Pentecost. It's also on what? A Sunday. We good? All right. And so I want you to notice then that this feast began 50 days after first fruits. You got it? It lasted one day. It was a one-day festival. And this is really intriguing. When you think about God requiring his people to show up for a festival that lasts only one day. You got to be committed to the Lord to make this journey and to celebrate this for one day, right? And it involved a grain offering. So you couldn't come empty-handed. You had to come ready to worship God, right? You got verse 15. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. All right? 50 days. It lasted 50 days. Excuse me. It was 50 days after first fruit. It lasted one day, and it involved a grain offering. We good so far? Okay, let's keep going. Thank you, AJ. Let's keep going and see what we can learn then. I think I have really messed up here, AJ. There we go. Several animal sacrifices were to be made, okay? Now, you might remember in the feast of first fruit, there was only one animal sacrifice, right? And the grain offering, the meal offering were much smaller. This festival is much larger, okay? So there are several animals, sheep and goat and bulls, and okay, several animals. So this is even though it's one day, it's a big deal. This is a big festival, okay? It involves a meal offering, okay? And so, again, what's the point, Brother Willie? God is teaching his people to bring their best. Bring your best to God. Bring it from your own. This is the best of your food. These are the best of your animals, you see? You bring it because when you go to worship God, you remember how David said, I won't offer to God that which what? Costs me nothing. If I'm going to worship God, it's got to cost me something, you see? I got to get some sleep. I got to be prepared to worship God. I got to save some of my money if I'm going to come and worship God. I got to save some of my interest. And you see, I want to bring God the best when I come to worship, okay? You see, you just can't come and expect everybody to worship God for you. Amen. And you just get swept up in it. If you don't bring something, you can't expect to get anything out of it. Amen. All right? So you got verse 17. You shall bring from your dwelling place. You see, you bring this from your. This is yours. Bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2 tenths of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs. A year old without blemish. You see, it's more. Before it was just one lamb. Now, as you got it, 7 lambs and 1 bull from the herd and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Now you say, well, oh my, all this instruction is all important. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's all important. And it's the same with you and me. When God tells us how to worship him, he expects us to worship him with that same level of detail. Uh-huh. Can't get sloppy with it. Amen. Can't do what everybody else is doing and think that it's going to be okay with God. Amen. He says, this is the way I'm to be worshipped. He expects us to worship him like that. Amen. Yes? Amen. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. This is holy. Don't play with this. Now, if you want to make some stew at home, that's up to you. But when you bring this food to God, you got to bake it like He says He wants. God's not want stew. He didn't want ham hocks or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you can make what you want with your food, but God says when you bring it to me, you got to bring it the way He wants it.
That's right.
God said, you can keep the majority of your money. You keep it. Now, hopefully you'll be wise with it, but it's yours. But He expects you, the part that you bring to Him, don't play with that. Right? Ananias and Sapphira had to learn that. Don't play games. Don't pretend that you're going to give God something and don't do it. Or don't lie about it. You see, God just wants us to be for real. Just bring what you got. You get it? And just make sure it's not leftovers. You shall not do any ordinary work. Holy. God wants us to devote special time for Him. And this is just what? Just one day. Just one day. You got all of the rest of the time. Okay? It is a statute forever in your dwelling places throughout your generation. So we good so far? Several animal sacrifices and meal offering was to be included on this holy convocation. One last thing that you see in verse 22. You see verse 22 there shows us how God expects His people to care about other people. He expects us to love other people. Even when you come to worship Him, when you come to worship God, you have to worship God loving people. You see, remember the Bible says, how can you say you love God? What? Whom you have not seen. You come to worship with your brothers and sisters. You can't speak to them. You can't interact. Something's wrong with your religion. You came to worship a God you can't see, and you can't love people that are around you every day. And so God made sure that not only did His people have consideration for Him, bring an offering for Him, but they were given special consideration for the poor, the people that you might pass by. You see? If you'll give consideration to the people you might pass by, then the assumption is you're going to consider others. Nobody's too low when it comes to worshiping God. You get it? See verse 22? And when you reap the harvest of the land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. In other words, when you go and get your harvest, you're going to have plenty to take care of your family. But don't try to clean out. Now, for those of us who grew up in the South, we're used to that. We didn't exactly handle things properly, but I mean, fields were kind of open game, watermelon patches, and but it wasn't people weren't as possessive as they are now. You know, they didn't fight over somebody stealing a watermelon. I shouldn't say stealing. Yeah, it was still. If somebody getting a watermelon or what God is saying to His people here, when you glean the field, leave some for the poor. Because the poor need to be cared for. And I want you to learn to care about the poor. You can't worship me and have no consideration for others. You get it? So that's the instruction. So when we think about the origin of the feast, you can see that believers must... help me, there it is. Believers must worship and thank God for His great provision. The last big thing then we want to look at is what I call the significance of this feast, the significance of the Feast of Weeks. In the Old Testament, then this feast celebrated the giving of the law and the giving of the harvest. Now, I want to show you this, and it's going to take a few minutes, okay? So just be a little bit patient with me. Can you find Exodus 19? You'll remember in the book of Exodus, what we see is God sending Moses into Egypt, right, to as an ambassador to say to Pharaoh, set my people free, right? And you remember what happened. God knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go. So the 10 plagues, the last one being what? The death of the death angel. And that's where the Passover feast came from. So they got delivered from Egypt. Now God said, I want you to go out into the wilderness and I want you to worship me. Exodus 19, they've made their way to Mount Sinai. Okay? This is where they've come to worship God. This is, God set them free to make it to Mount Sinai to worship him. You got it? So you got, you see verse 1? On the third moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Okay? So here we are, 47 days after Abib 17. Okay? 47 days they've journeyed, and now they're at Mount Sinai. You got it? Drop down to verse 19. On the morning of the third day, 47 plus 3 is what? 50. All right? So we 50 days out of Egypt, and what's happening? On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp tremble. Okay? Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because of the Lord, because the Lord had descended on it with fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. Now, I want you to keep that image in mind, all right? 50 days after they got out of Egypt, you know what's about to happen? See verse 20? And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me, right? You shall not make for yourself any carved. Do you know what those are? Those are the Ten Commandments. So God has delivered them, and 50 days after they get delivered, God gives them the law. You see? So they are celebrating the giving of what? The law. And you learn in, go to Exodus 23. You'll also learn that this feast, the Feast of Weeks, was also called the Feast of Harvest. You got Exodus 23, verse 16. You shall keep the Feast of Harvest, of the first fruit of your labor, of what you sow in the field. Here's what I want you got to keep in mind. For the Old Testament saint then, this Feast of Weeks was a celebration of God giving the law in this amazing display of glory and wonder. Fire and trembling and smoke, God gave the law 50 days after they got out of Egypt. And then he said, I want you to also remember that I am the one that gives you the harvest. And that's what they were to remember when they celebrated this feast. Now, you also notice that the saints, there you go, the saints demonstrated their love for God and worshiped him as the Lord of the harvest. And that's the whole point of this celebration. When you worship God, you demonstrate your love for him. But they also were acknowledging him as the Lord of the harvest. We worship him with what he has given us. You and I come to worship God with what he gave you. Every gift you have, every skill, every ability came from the Lord. And so you give back to him what he has given to you. And so that's what they were doing. They were demonstrating their love for God. Now, but you notice that they also had to demonstrate their love for people. Remember we saw that in verse 22? God says, not only do I want you to demonstrate your love for me, but your love for people. Is that what Jesus says? Ask him, what's the great commandment? He said, what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. That's the whole Bible. He was teaching them the same thing here. You cannot worship me and not love people. Okay? Now, when it comes to the New Testament, let's learn this real quick and we'll wrap it up. So what are we to learn from the Feast of Weeks when it comes to the New Testament? In the New Testament, y'all getting this? It's called Pentecost. Okay? Can you turn to Acts chapter 2? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. It's the same feast. They've been doing this for generations now. Meeting on the 50th day after first fruits. They've been doing it year after year after year. And they've just been to keep doing it. But then lo and behold, Jesus dies. And they still can't. They're supposed to. They're still obeying God. God told them to do it. Lo and behold, the day of Pentecost came. And they were all together. Now, you remember the imagery I showed you in Exodus 19, right? What happened? Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a what? Mighty rushing wind. Just like it did on that mountain, right? All of those generations ago, they got together on the Pentecost, and God showed up with fire and trembling, and he spoke, and he gave them the law. Well, here, he shows up again. And it says, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God is giving. He is giving. You getting the picture? In the New Testament, the feast is called Pentecost. Now, this feast was fulfilled when? After Jesus ascended to heaven, he said that I will go and the Father will send you what? Another comforter. If I do not go, the comforter will not come. But if I go, he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to do something for you, all right? And so this feast was fulfilled. All of these generations, you see, this is what God wanted them to see all along. Just do it. You don't understand it now, but just keep on obeying me. And when it's time, he's going to reveal what it all means. And so they're just faithful year after year after year. And then God finally shows, this is why you need to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, okay? And so it was fulfilled when Jesus ascended into heaven. And the Holy Spirit descended, and he was coming to gather the first fruits. Gather the first fruits from all the nations into the kingdom. Okay? He was coming to show them this is what the harvest was all about all along. The harvest wasn't about barley and wheat and all these grains. The harvest never was about that. It wasn't about sheep and goats and bulls. The harvest was always about the souls, of people, okay? And so the Holy Spirit comes and he reveals what it's all about. And he begins to gather in people. Let's look at it. You got verse 5? Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from what? Every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? It means that God has come down. God has given again. He's given the Spirit to reveal Himself and His will, right? And He said He's showing how He's gathering all of these nations together. And we learn later on that about 3,000 men were saved here after Peter preaches this sermon, right? And you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 9? He says, "Open your eyes. Open your eyes. The harvest is what? Plentiful." Harvest is plentiful, but you got to be looking right. You can't be. You can't look with eyes that are perverted. You got to see the harvest as all people, right? All people are part of the harvest because that was God's plan all along. And the Holy Spirit came to show how massive this harvest is. Who would have ever thought God would be bringing anybody into the kingdom other than Jews? But you don't understand the mind of God. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Stop trying to reason it out your way. God's working a great plan. Yes? And the harvest is still plentiful. But what? The laborers are still few. Few that really want to go out into the what? Harvest. The real harvest. Amen. The real harvest. Okay? We good so far? And so this is what we are to learn in the New Testament. But you notice we also learn from in this book of Acts that the same people who were later be called the church, had to learn to love each other. Amen. Right? For example, you look at verse 42 of Acts 2. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds as any had need. And day after day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, receiving their food with gladness and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." They had to learn to love one another. You see? Loving God will, in fact, reveal your love for people. If you have real love for God, you will love people. The Bible even says, if you have real love for God, you'll learn how to love your what? Your enemy.
Amen. Amen.
What?
Yeah.
Amen. And pray for them. You see, it's not just Stephen. This wasn't reserved just for Stephen. To learn to ask God to forgive those who are persecuting him. There was nothing special about Stephen. I'm not being crass.
Amen.
But the same Spirit that gave Stephen the grace to do that is what? He's available in every one of us. He has come for this to be reality. Right? This is the purpose of the feast. It's still going on. The harvest is still being gathered in. The end gathering is still happening, and you and I are the agents. Boy, I went too fast there. Believers must worship and thank God for the great harvest of the Holy Spirit. This is the issue. When we think about this feast, the Holy Spirit has come and He has revealed His will that God is saving people from all nations and tribes and ethnic groups, and He is doing it marvelously and wonderfully. And He's saying to us that harvest is still just as massive. The harvest is there. Stop overlooking undesirable. Stop creating your own harvest. Jesus said, open your eyes and what? And see, the harvest is plentiful. As a matter of fact, that was the problem. Jesus came to the undesirables. And the religious community couldn't handle that. Of all of the people, why would you go to them? You see? That's what you and I need to think through. Who are the poor people we're passing by? To whom much is given, much is required. But you know what else Jesus said? To the one who is faithful over a little, what? He'll be faithful over much. You and I have got to learn to be more faithful over the little bit before God's going to entrust us with more harvest. Yes? There's a little harvest around each one of us that we've been passing by every day. Because we haven't thought of it as a harvest. Just a job or just a neighbor. Just a nuisance. And the neighbor's children are just a nuisance. Or, you see, all of these little harvests that are all around us, that the Holy Spirit has come. And he's saying, open your eyes and see that the harvest is still plentiful. We good? So then, my brothers, sisters, as we then try to put this all together, I want you to think about this. Hopefully you can see that the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost is the right terminology. The Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, was a reminder to Israel that God alone was the giver. Right? God was the giver. He gave them their deliverance from Egypt. Yes? He gave them food. He gave them other provisions. He gave them the law to guide them into righteousness, yes? For us today, the day of Pentecost reminds us that God is the giver for us. Yes, he is. The Father has given his Son, yes? The Son has given his life, and the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus gave his life for our redemption, right? Our redemption from slavery to sin, and the Holy Spirit has come to give us the power to have victory in this life. The Lord gives us food and necessary provisions, right? Our Father in heaven has given us the Holy Spirit, who gives us life and who guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit has come to gather in the harvest of all the saints in the kingdom of God. Isn't this wonderful? He gives eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives assurance. The Holy Spirit gives guidance. He gives wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives conviction. He gives comfort. The Holy Spirit gives insight. The Holy Spirit gives restraint. He restrains you at times when you don't understand why you can't do what you want to do. He gives intercession. He gives sanctification. The Holy Spirit gives the fruit. He gives you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, self-control and faithfulness. Yes, he comes and he gives that to us so graciously. And he works it out in us. And the Holy Spirit gives us hope. The Holy Spirit edifies. The Holy Spirit, he teaches. He dwells in us. He infills us. You understand? He has come and he's the giver. He's the giver of everything good. And he's here right now and he's giving right now. He's the giver. He's the giver. He gives power to believe us, to live. And he's gathering in this great harvest. This is why we worship the only true God. There's only one true God. And he has revealed himself to us. And for this, we need to be eternally grateful. He's made himself known to us through Jesus, his Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what's wonderful? We are actually a part of the great harvest. Isn't that great? We're actually a part of the great harvest, and he's using us to go gather in more of the harvest. Yeah. This is staggering. Yeah. This is phenomenal. I've been harvested in, and he says, Willie, go get some more of the harvest in. This is tremendous. This is absolutely tremendous. I've been harvested, and he's using me to go harvest. This is wonderful. But that's how the Spirit works. The Holy Spirit has come to work out this great plan. And he says to us, keep the harvest in mind. The giver is still giving. He gives me everything I need to love life and have good days. Did you know that? This is tremendous. Whether you're wealthy or poor, the Holy Spirit gives you everything to love life and have good days. Whether you're healthy or sick, he gives you everything, right? Whether you're employed or unemployed or underemployed, he gives you everything necessary to love life and have good days. He is the what? Giver. The Holy Spirit has given. We're a part of this great harvest. We've been chosen by the Father, redeemed and ransomed by the Son, indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit. God is worthy of our praise and our sacrifice forever. And if you're not a Christian, you could be among the harvest today. Now, this is absolutely wonderful. You could actually be a part of God's harvest today. But you got to believe. God will not make you believe. He will not make you. He will not force you to love him. But if you will, you will be a part of this eternal harvest, and you will be with him forever. And so I just implore you, if you want to be in the kingdom, resolve yourself right now to ask Christ to save you, and he will. Be real. Be for real with him. Don't play games with him. He will save you forever. Forever! You'll never be lost again. You'll never be groping after truth again. Once you get in the harvest, you're in the harvest. Amen. He's never lost one soul. Lord, we thank you for your great plan. Thank you for your great love, your electing love that has pursued us. Father, we want to thank you for giving your Son. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for giving your life. And Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for giving us life. We want to thank you today that we know that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. It all comes from you. And Lord, would you help us to be a more grateful people? In everything, would you help us to give thanks? Particularly when it comes to times of worship and praise, would you help us to see why? We've got good reason to worship you. We've got good reason to praise you. We've got good reason to thank you, Lord. Would you work this out in us, Lord? We thank you for the day of Pentecost. We thank you that you came with great glory. We thank you, Lord, that you started the gathering of this great harvest. We thank you that it's still going on, Lord. We thank you that we are a part not only of the harvest, but we are part of the harvesters. And so, Lord, help us to live out this great plan in your will and your way. And Father, would you bring someone into the harvest today? Whether immediately here under the sound of my voice or those that might hear in other ways, would you bring someone to true faith in Christ and make them a part of the harvest in Jesus' name? Amen.